So welcome everybody to the Auda Progress Users Progress. Yeah, I know it's tough to choose a session, they are also good. And it's fortunate I chose that one too. So the reason for that, I think, is the best. Anyway, my name is Jordi Sastre. I'm in software architect in the IT department of Progress. To tell you a bit about myself, I started using Progress 23 years ago in a software company in Spain. This explains my funny accent. And I liked Progress so much that in 1995 I joined the technical support center in the Netherlands, in Rotterdam. There is when I wrote the ProQV tool, the knowledge base tool that I used to download from time to time. It's that old. In 2001 I moved to Bedford and to the IT department. Many things have happened since then, and here am I talking to myself or to you if you are listening. So today I'm going to talk about Progress users, the Progress products, at least from the IT department. So there is a lot of things I could tell you, but 1 hour is very short time, so I'll just choose a few things I consider interesting. If there's anything that you would like to know and you think I've missed, I'll be here the rest of the conference. Feel free to talk to me whenever you want. First, I'd like to talk very briefly about Progress IT, who we are, the strategy we follow for platforms and applications that we support. I'll review the application portfolio that we are using currently. I'll do a big dig into the integration stuff, because it's mostly what we are doing nowadays, integrating data. I'll give you some examples of specific integrations. Also touch in the IT help desk application, the internal ticketing system that we use, and with business intelligence and data warehousing, just to explain the roadmap of what we are going to do next. So in IT, we are 82 crazy people like me. And we are spread around 5 countries. And we support around 1,100 users, which are our employees. Probably now are 1,106, because we acquired modules. And they are in 17 different offices, probably now 18. 13 countries, these are supposed. Okay. And we provide 24/7 support to on the critical systems, emails or the infrastructure, and also for the critical business applications. Okay, strategy. When I joined Progress 18 years ago, most of the applications we used were 4GL, Character, and we either acquired them from partners or wrote them ourselves. Since then, many things have happened. Technology got complex. Business users got more demanding. And this thing, the cloud, appeared that provide some advantages. So now, we no longer have the manpower to write our own applications. So we buy them or we get them from the cloud, because it's what everybody else is doing. So in a way, we are a business like any other business. But, however, the most critical applications that we use, order management and financial, are still open edge and are still on-premise. Not because they are open edge or the licenses are free, it's because we like them too. One thing is true as well, if we ever need to develop some tool or small application to do anything specific, we first look at Progress tools, open edge, role-based, or whatever. And data integration is also key for all the systems, and we'll talk deeper about that. This is our picture. We have a lot of applications, and we group them in mainly 4 groups. At the top, we have the web collaboration, which is email, authentication, things that are employee-oriented and sometimes user-oriented too, on the web space mainly. Then the applications that do the transactions are grouped in 3 groups. Let me go into more detail about that. I split it differently. So the top layer is the enterprise collaboration, so email, calendar, SharePoint, authentication, link, whatever refers to communication and collaboration. The left box was the field operations, also known as CRM, or the front-end applications that mainly relate with customer management tasks. So marketing, sales, customer support use these applications, and they are mainly on the cloud. And the main reason for that is because especially sales and customer support normally are on the road, are remote, so we don't want them to have to VPN into our network to get to the applications. So if they are in the cloud, they are available from any browser, anywhere, any place. Middle box was the business operations, which are the applications also known as ERP or back-end applications that deal with money, mainly on invoices. Here we have a mixture of on-premise open edge, and cloud applications. The right box with the product operations, which are the applications used by engineering, that deal most of the maintenance themselves. They are just integrating some data with them, and they are all on-premise. At the bottom, we have this integration layer. So integration is the data entity and service-oriented integration layer to share and replicate data across systems. That's a nice definition. And it's a framework mainly based on OpenEdge, and I'll talk deeply about that. At the very bottom, we have the business intelligence and data warehouse, which is made of an OpenEdge database to collect all the transactional data from the operational systems, transform them to a different type of entity that is easier for reporting. This is made of a database, OpenEdge, and also WebSpeed and Tableau. These are a list of same applications I mentioned loosely. Yeah, for the web collaboration, mainly it's Microsoft, because we use Exchange and Outlook, Link, SharePoint, so these are Microsoft things. We use OpenAM for authentication and single sign-on, and Telegram for communities. Sales uses Salesforce.com, it's a great tool, and they like it, and it's a very well robust and very nice thing that runs in the cloud. For order management, we use QED. As you all know, it's based on OpenEdge. It has some .NET and Java stuff, but still mainly OpenEdge. For the electronic software downloads, when you get the bits, this is done on the cloud, Flexera. Customer support uses Service Cloud, which is an add-on to Salesforce.com. Financials use Open Accounts from advanced computer software that is on-premise OpenEdge. A nice application. Human resources, we have lost on Outposted. It's the last one. We have learned that Outposted is not a nice model, yet the cloud has no advantages, but Outposted doesn't have the advantages. So you don't do administration, but somebody else does it for you. But very often, you would wish you do it yourself, because your response time always will be faster than the Outposted vendor. So, this application is in its way out. It will be replaced soon with a cloud application, real SaaS. For the internal IT help desk, as mentioned, it's our own application. We wrote it ourselves. It's based on OpenEdge. Data warehousing, also mentioned, is OpenEdge and Tableau. Integration is mainly OpenEdge. And other refers to these web tools or these small projects, things that you need to do ad hoc. That for that we mainly use WebSpeed and some Java by mistake. Yeah, was a mistake. Yeah. These applications, they all share data. And they have, but data is important, it needs to move around. They either send the data to another system or expose it to be queried real time. You not always need to send the data. As much as possible, you need to query it from the source directly. And you see the arrows that are represent the integration. That's not the real picture, that's simplified. The real picture is this one. I don't want to go into that, but I prefer to go into the architecture of how we do all this spaghetti picture, fireworks picture that we do. It's time for a break. Okay, we have a framework that we have developed ourselves. We call it PSCI, Progress Over Population Integration. Not very exciting. It's based on OpenEdge, made of persistent procedures, include files, method libraries, and even an event database, or a database to collect some events. It is service-oriented. What this means is that we don't integrate applications point-to-point. What we do is that each application exposes services to read and write data. And then the processes are going to use this data. Data entity oriented, again, we don't integrate from A to B. If we need to send customer data from one application to another, one application exposes customer, services get customer, write customer, whatever. Yeah, and then the other application will have methods to write customers and create any other data entity. The reason for that is because if we replace, I'll talk about that later. The code is layered. Yeah, the single procedures that do everything, that's not a good idea. You want to separate the code and have integration processes, data services, and transport methods. And for that, we look at the picture. Play that with the picture. We could say that the picture is upside down, if you want. At the top, we have a platform and applications we need to integrate to, or integrate with. The first thing that happens here is a transport method. Each application has its own way to communicate. Web service, SOAP, REST, App Server, FTP, whatever method. So that's the lowest level, but it's at the top, that's why it's upside down. You need to change your brain for what. So that's the methods, that's the code that knows how to talk to the application. Has no idea about the data, about what it's going to do. It just knows how to talk, to connect the web service, to get the wisdom, to send and receive methods. Then we have the wrong button. Data services. Data services, they know about the data. And they worry about the data itself. Not how to send it to the other system, because for that is a transport method. Data services provide methods like create customer, get entitlement, business functions. On top of that, or at the bottom, we have the integration process that knows what to do with these services for this particular task or this particular integration. We have here at the left canonical data format. This means that all the data that is read from a system is transformed to a canonical data format. And if you send it to another place, we are going to transform a canonical data format to another place. Why we do that? For two reasons mainly. Applications, when you buy a third-party application, you are not using 100% of the application, you use a portion. There are always fields in the customer record that you never use. So when you want to define your customer data, only with the fields that you are interested in. And for that purpose, the fields that are prone to be integrated to another system. So you get a reduced field set for all the data entities. And the second reason is that to be able to replace an application quickly. If an integration transforms from the application A to canonical data format, and then from canonical data format to integration B, application B, if you replace B, you only replace half the picture. You only replace from the canonical data format to the application. So with this approach, you can plug and play applications much easily than otherwise. User interface here is because an integration process could be a web page, could be a web program that the user manipulates the data. And for that we use WebSpeed, that also in its own framework, that I'll show a little bit later. And on the right we have the configuration log notification, so the framework knows how to read property files, how to react to environments. So the code is the same in development, test, and production. It is the framework who knows, oh, I'm on this machine, I'm in test, I'm going to use these properties, these URLs, these log files, or whatever. All this happens automatically. And notification logging, because it knows how to write to a log file with different levels, and some levels can automatically trigger notification to some admin that something went wrong. So all this is a picture about the framework that we have. This framework has some principles, and while preparing the presentation, I retrieved the original list when this was designed, and it was funny to see that they still all apply, which is kind of good. Architecture focuses on supportability and functionality. And notice the order, supportability comes first, functionality comes second. If you worry too much about providing the best or the coolest feature for the users, but you cannot support it very well, this feature is going to be unstable, you'll need to fix it very often, you'll need to worry about it, so the user is going to be not very satisfied with this feature. But if you worry about supportability first, meaning that you support the features that you can support easily, support is going to be easy. You're going to have free time to enhance the features. And all this results in more user satisfaction. They are going to be happy. Service-oriented, as opposed to point-to-point integration, kind of mentioned about that. So we are not integrating from A to B. We are just exposing services to handle the integration. Data entity oriented, for a similar reason, we are integrating customer data. For example, the employee data is the most used data. We extracted ones from the HR system, and this same data is sent to 13 different applications at 13 different schedules, because each application has its own. But these extract ones and write to 13 different places. Separation of logics. If the integration is transport, data service and process mentioned, if it is a web application, through presentation, process and service, or MDC, always the code needs to be separated. You don't want to mix HTML and 4GL in the same file. That's not a good thing. Reuse of logic. Probably I'm the most lazy guy in the world, so I don't like to write too much code. I want to write little code and use it many times. That's the most effective way. Less code, less bugs. Highly configurable to avoid code modifications. Yeah, you want property files, you want parameters, you want to drive the functionality for parameters, or activate, deactivate functionality. Easy replacement of applications, I already touched on that. So the business goes, the industry goes very fast. When you have a new app, they want it replaced now, so we need to react fast. The integrations need to be changed very fast. Support for multiple platform mechanisms. We don't want to. Well, this relates to the second one, best technology for each integration point. When we need to integrate a new application, always ask the vendor, what's your recommended way to integrate, or what most of your customers do. We don't want to be difficult to support by doing difficult things. We want the whatever the vendor wants to use, we'll use it. And for that, we need to support everything. That's why we need to support the FTP, SCP, JMS, SOAP, REST web services, app servers, procedures, even email. And you'll wonder, why email is an integration mechanism? Well, it is. Some time ago, one of the benefit vendors to integrate, they wanted to receive a file attached to an email. And they had an email parser that would attach the file and process it. Weird, but that's okay, that's easy. You can build a file, send an email from you. That's not the case anymore, but the mechanism is still there if the need appears again. Integrations need to be secure and encrypted, of course. And the use of technologies, we don't want to support too many things, but we mainly want to support the ones that progress has. Let's look at an example in detail. That's the requirement that we got. In Salesforce.com, there are prospects accounts in there that the sales people work, and at some point the prospect wants to buy something, which means wants to become a customer. What the business wanted is to take this data that we have in the Salesforce.com account and convert it into a customer in UAD. But give a chance for an order management person to review the data and add some more data to the account data. So the 1, 2, 3. This is how we approach it. For the interaction from the order management person, WebSpeak is a very nice tool. And we put the framework in between to communicate with Salesforce and QED. These both systems, they both have their own API for integration. Both don't come for Salesforce as you extend for a new idea. And they are both so. So what you have is a couple libraries, libsetc.p. It's a library that knows how to talk to Salesforce.com. When you call the transport thing, it knows how to log in, how to send requests, how to send selects. Similarly, libqxtend is a library that knows how to talk to QED, to read data and create data. If I have these libraries with all these data services in there to read and write data, I don't need to write the WebSphere program. And here I separate HTML from the 4GL. HTML is for the look and feel, and the .w, the 4GL, is for the logic. I'm going to do a small deep dive into. I'm going to show you some code. So how do we get data from Salesforce using libsetdc? First, we have a. Here we go. We have a canonical data model for the Salesforce.com account, which is represented as dev table. These are my list of fields. These are how the fields are named in Salesforce.com. I don't like the long field names, so I try to abbreviate them a little bit. Makes the code easier. If the field is named the same thing in Salesforce, I don't need to map it. This is a nice feature in Salesforce.com. When you do a select statement and you include another table, another object with another field, Salesforce.com knows how to go to that other object with the appropriate foreign key and return the data. So I'm taking advantage of that, and the sales rep name and code, which are in another table in Salesforce.com, they are in the same in my canonical data model for the other. Once I define my canonical data model, I run a min. I run a method in libsetdc that knows how to send queries to Salesforce.com. This is the query, so let me start from account. It puts it in the temp table handle I sent, and it tells how many records I received. That's the only line I need. The framework is smart enough to take this start and replace it with the fields that I defined at the table, which means that select star does not get me all the data from Salesforce.com, only the data that I want for the payment. Once I have data, how do I present it to the users? For that I have the WebSpeed framework that we use. When we define an HTML file, you can see the HTML because it's not as nice as 4GL. But you can still read that this is a table, HTML table. And you see some stuff in red, that the framework knows that these are fields or placeholders that needs to pay attention to. Not because they are red, but because they have this double square bracket. Yeah, and it also knows how to identify some fields from the HTML. So the framework can extract these pieces of data and make it fields in a temp table to represent the page. So that's a HTML look and feel with placeholders for the data. This is what it is. It is in the 4GL program that I can assign values to these fields or placeholders. By using this function, set the value, this is in the HTML, and I'm assigning a value to this. I can do a direct mapping, or I can do some transformation of data. For example, in Salesforce.com, the address is a single field with line fields. In our canonical data model, we need three different fields for the address. So this code here is just to separate, split the Salesforce.com address into the three that I want. So while doing the mapping, I can do a transformation as well. Now, how do I send the data to QED? Similarly to Salesforce.com, I define the canonical data model from a customer record. In this case, the mapping to QED fields happens buried in the libqxtend.p. because it's not as straightforward as Salesforce.com. Yeah, in the customer data and QAD is not in a single table. There are a few tables of the data. But for the reasons mentioned before, my canonical data model is flat. It's only one timetable with all the fields for the customer. But not as flat because the contact, for example, is a child table and the cell reps are another child table. But it's a subset of the QAD fields, only the ones, the fields that we want. Then in the .w, remember the web program, I'm just mapping the hard-coded fields or fields that I get from somewhere else or even fields from the web form. I map them to my timetable record and run my method to create the customer. So this method here will do everything is needed to create the customer in QAD. So the point here is that with only these WebSpeed files, I'm sending data from a SOAP web service expose application to another SOAP application. Another example, support cases. If you use the architect, the developer studio, but the Eclipse thing that you develop code, it has an option in the menus to report an issue. So the requirement was that whenever you submit this thing with the issue there, we need to receive that, get entitlement data from QAD, and create a support case in Salesforce.com. How do we do that? Well, of course, we put the framework in between. And let's say there are two pieces here. When you click submit on the report an issue thing, it goes to a web service that gets the file that is attached to the web service, sends it through the firewall, through an antivirus, and puts it in a folder somewhere in our network internal. Then if we need to write a .p, simple .p that scans for the directory, reads the file, gets data from QAD, and sends it to Salesforce.com. This is more detail on the details. I don't know if you can read from the back, but I can walk through you that. There is a process that always runs at every minute or 3 minutes, checks if there is a file in this directory. If there is, it converts the files to a raw data set. It's an XML file, converts it to a raw data set, uses a serial number to get entitlement from QAD, uses the email address to get the contact from Salesforce.com. If there is no contact, it creates a new one. Once this is done, it creates the case, attaches the files, and goes back to sleep. This is the requirement of promise to be done. We can map that to things from the framework. How do we parse the web service into Pro Dataset? Well, I cannot take credit for that. This is the read XML function for the Pro Dataset, the method, that it just automatically converts the whole XML into a Pro Dataset. Then from the Pro Dataset, I use the serial number to run the data service that gets entitlement data from QAD. It's as easy as one line. So I send the serial number and the table where I want the data to be put. Notice the parameter here is blank. Why would I use a blank parameter? Again, we are using data services, so this service is not only used for this process. We have other integration processes that use the same thing. And the other processes, or one of them, requires the customer number instead of the serial number. In that case, the other process will use the customer number and not the serial number. Once I have the entitlement, I run SFTC query that we saw before to locate the contact in Salesforce.com. If this method returns zero, means that there is no contact, so I create a new one, sending the contact data that I got from the XML. After the contact is created, just create the case, create attachments to that case. So that's the .p results in very simple. Just because we have this whole framework below, that's all the ugly stuff of contacting software services, handling whistles, checking for SOAP error messages, timeouts, all the things that you only want to code once and never again. So they are at the bottom of the structure. So we have seen that to create customers, we have a small web app that reads from Salesforce.com and writes to me. Support case uses a batch program using the same framework below to read, in this case, from EE and write it to Salesforce, but there are more. When an account changes in Salesforce.com, Salesforce fires a trigger that contacts a web service that we expose that will get data from, that will write the changes to QED using the update customer method. We also have support entitlement. When you go to Salesforce.com to log a support case, you see that at some point you are asked for the product, the version, the serial number. All this is done by Apex Code that uses web services that get the data in real time from QED. When a customer changes in QED, we store the change in a database as an event, and then from time to time we have a batch process that gets the events and sends them to Salesforce.com. And you'll ask, why is this batch and not real time? Well, first, there is no real need for being real time, and second, because when users change things, sometimes they change the customer data, click save, and they say, oh, that's a typo. Let me correct the typo, click save. And then in QED, sometimes customer data is another screen, so they go somewhere else to modify that and click save. There are many saves. We don't want to send all these things to Salesforce.com, that's too chatty. So we want to collect them in the event database. But from time to time, we take the event, dedup them, and send updates to Salesforce.com only once. So that's just to save them. Okay, there are many other integrations, but I don't want to bore you too much. So let's change gears to products. Okay, so Prodesk is our internal help desk application. We wrote it in 2004. When I say we, I say this guy and myself. Yeah, don't be distracted. It was written in 10 of me. And it's mainly uses two clients, one for providers, is a GUI, rich GUI client, deployed with web client, and a very light web speed interface for the users to let them log the calls and follow up on them. Its architecture is simple, it follows the OpenEdge reference architecture. So there is a database, business logic that interacts with the database directly, and this is exposed or encapsulated in an app server where we have the two clients, the web speed client for users and the web client one for providers, that they both use the exact same logic on the app server. That's it. So this application has been running for a while, 10 years, with no support, no maintenance, was great. But as I said at the beginning, the users get demanding, and we need to, they ask for, sorry, my web things. They want the application on the web. So how do we do that? So we are following two possible approaches. One is robots. Isn't that nice? Come on, robots, I said. We started not long ago to play with role-based as a new product, and we are trying to see if we can do a help desk system on role-based. And I have to say that it's going pretty well. That's a real screenshot of the prototype that they are writing. Looks nice. Lot of work to do, but it looks very promising. So this is what we are working on. There are many chances to get deployed. In parallel, we are looking at another approach, which would be similar to what we had before, but in OpenEdge 11. Same database, business logic, and app server, this wouldn't change. But then we would put a JavaScript framework, either jQuery or DHTMLX or similar. jQuery is a standard that everybody uses. DHTMLX is the one I like. This is what would do the fancy, sexy, and nice things on the front end. And in the middle, we would use AJAX to get and manipulate data. This can be done with WebSpeed. WebSpeed can do AJAX. Or the OpenExpress Web Service. Yes, OpenExpress Web Service. We are not practicing for this project, but we have WebSpeed as an AJAX server in several places and works great. WebSpeed is very lightweight, it's simple, and because it's so simple, it's so nice with REST. And VHTMLX, we have a tool we are building for another project, and it looks very, very nice. It has all the things that WebSpeed doesn't have, the grids, the viewers, the tabs, all the pretty stuff. In either case, what they want is a mobile client. The service providers, they want to go around the building with an iPhone to check the holes in there, update them, close them, or operate with them. Even people, 24/7 people, for example, they want to check the holes from while digging the beach or golfing. How they are. Business Intelligent Data Warehouse, that's the last topic. This is what we use today. So we have an OpenEdge database, and this OpenEdge database is being fed by the integration framework with data from Salesforce.com, QED, and Lawson, employee data, mainly. And we, as I mentioned before, we transform this data to be ready for reporting. And for reporting, we use Progress OpenEdge, which is WebSpeed, to do the simple reports. Couple query, couple parameters go and give you the report. Or we use Tableau. Does anyone doesn't know what Tableau is? Or play a few. For the ones who don't know Tableau, is a great data. It's a business intelligence tool where you send data and you can slice it and dice it and look at it in many different ways. You can build nice dashboards and graphs. And it looks, it's great. So this one we have today. What we are working now, what we're on now is to upgrade it with Isabel.
Tableau question.
Tableau question?
Yeah. What are you pushing to Tableau, like a collection of temptables, a data set?
The data is transforming the database. Mm-hmm. What Tableau gets is a copy of the table.
Okay.
It's a copy of the table,
the
database?
Yeah. It's a SQL database? It's OpenEdge. Tableau, yeah, use SQL too. We use SQL to extract the data from the table, from the database, and send it to Tableau. But this data has already been transformed and prepared for reporting. So Tableau just takes the data as it was a grid, and you can group it and mix it and do hierarchies. So it's a very nice tool. And it's online. In the cloud. As everybody else. Okay, so we are going to add Progress Easel to this picture. I don't know if you know Easel. Who has looked at Easel? Okay, good for you, Paul. Okay, Easel is not a BI tool. It's not a reporting tool. Actually, I don't know how to define it. But that's a matter. It has very two nice features. One is that when it needs to report on a table, users can choose what fields they want to see. And Easel remembers that for that user. Yeah, it happens for some data entities, the customer list. Salespeople want to see this data, customer service wants to see this data, support wants to see this data. Everybody wants to see different data from the same data entity. Okay, with Easel, each one can flag the field they want. And okay, they get a customized report. Perfect. That's something that Tableau cannot do. The second thing from Easel is that for reporting, many people, what they do is to get the report, put it in Excel, and they play in Excel. and they mess with the data. This is what users tend to do. With Easel, they can prepare this Excel, build all the graphs of all the things they want from this data, save it on their computer, their laptop, and the data will automatically be updated by Easel. At scheduled times, whenever they define it, Easel is used to send the new data to this spreadsheet. Which means that people, Monday morning, they just open their own spreadsheet and the data have today. So Easel is all the updates in the background. So these are very nice features, and we are going to implement with this.
Places or EBC as well?
Use something similar to Dropbox or I don't know what it does. You install something, an agent in your laptop, that this will use Easel to update the data, only the data. So the rest of the spreadsheet, it can have everything that you define. It knows how to identify the data that you populated and not only update the data.
Can you do conflicts reporting? Get a chat.
Anything you want, as long as you leave the original data intact. You can have the data that the report created. You can add more sheets with all the graphs and all the things you want to do. It's the master data that is what will update from.
And you can build complex data sets?
I think mainly it's kind of grid thing. Rows and columns. Although I have not seen Easel that much. I would say there are not complex data sets yet. I might be wrong. But they are improving too fast. I cannot take that. The data that is cloud is what we are going to use that as well. Because Tableau is on the cloud, Salesforce is on the cloud. That's why using our infrastructure to feed Tableau. Let's use DataDirect Cloud, which is also in the cloud, and schedule updates of Salesforce.com data to Tableau directly. Why bypassing the database? Well, if a data entity is not going to be joined with any other data entity, then the direct path is allowed. If you want to feed, for example, the account table in Salesforce, we never go that route. It will go to a database because we want to join the account table from the QED customers and opportunities and things. If there are no joins, we can use this driver to send a direct table from one system to another. So these are the two enhancements we are going to do. And this is summary. Probability combines cloud with on-premise, third party with homegrown, so we have everything. OpenAI is used for critical business applications, the simple tools that we create ad hoc and heavily for integration. Well-designed frameworks make life easier and users happier. That's the main experience that we have seen. And Pacific products are making its way into the technology portfolio. But I hope nothing about Node.js, I don't know anything. It's too early. Questions, people. I don't know what you wanted to see in this.
Yeah. I think it's a big question. In your experience as an architect in the complex model integration, what would you like different bureaucracy happening in applications?
So what I would like to see different? In the integration?
In
what I need or what OpenEdge provides?
Well,
technology. Well, 4GL can do everything. So the framework I show you is pure 4GL. Well, I use some Pearl to download a file from a secure site. But besides that, it's pure 4GL, so I'm very happy with that. The approach is, this is the evolution of several years. It started very slow as a single integration and it evolved to a framework. So yeah, very happy with what we have today. Is that your question?
Yes.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Any more? No questions, Mike?
Hmm?
No questions.
No questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.